Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
I'm going to keep squeezing it in wherever I can, because like I said, I deserve this. After the way I was treated in this fantasy football league, I deserve to gloat about it as much as possible today. So I will continue to do that throughout the show, even though nobody cares. The other thing we're excited about, though, is the fact that the Browns right now...
As long as you realize it, right?
That's all that counts. I know nobody cares, but I care. And that's all that matters, okay? Because, again...
I have like an ounce of care. I have like a little bit. Like
you
little
care.
Pinch.
Because I've told you this story multiple times throughout the season, and you know that it was a big deal to me that I ended the season in the most funny way possible after they tried to screw me by winning the championship against the commissioner who tried to screw me. Like, Hollywood couldn't have scripted anything better. I mean, this is like Baker Mayfield facing the Browns in the Super Bowl and beating the Browns. Like, that's basically what it was, right? Like, it's the fantasy football version of that. So, anyway. The other thing we're excited about, though, is the fact that Cleveland... has the number 3 overall pick as things stand going into week 18. And there's a pretty good chance that it's going to hold because they're playing the Ravens, who are a juggernaut, who are playing for the division and certainly trying to close out the season on a high note on Saturday. We're asking you at 216-474-0092 on Twitter at @SpenceCito_ and at @VolnickJake. Do you trust Andrew Berry to be the person making these picks? And I largely find myself saying, like, that's my biggest reservation about running it back with this group. I'm still, call me a Kevin Stefanski, I don't know, sympathizer, whatever you want to say. I'll take it, fine. I know people have their doubts about Kevin as well. I think Kevin is more part of the solution than the problem here. I think he's proven to you that, like, he can be successful in this league as a coach. He's taken this team to the playoffs twice with, you know, not necessarily the greatest of quarterbacks of all time. So we've seen what he can do. And I trust him to lead this organization moving forward on the field. From a behind-the-scenes standpoint, a roster-building standpoint, I got my own questions about Andrew Berry. But what I will say, as Jake obviously last segment harped on the fact that, like, maybe we've been a little too harsh on Andrew Berry because of the picks that he has had at his disposal and just the opportunities, I guess. If you are worried about Andrew Berry having to make this pick, if it ends up being top three, you honestly... You should want them to have the highest pick possible. Like, that's the thing I keep going back to. Is like, it's harder to screw it up when you have the number one pick or the number two. Unless you're taking a quarterback and you could obviously get the quarterback wrong. But if it's a year where, like, you have the number one pick, like New England's a perfect example of this because they have Drake May. They're probably not taking a quarterback. They get to take the best, like, non-quarterback player available if they want to, or they trade out. And so if you don't trust Andrew Berry, best case scenario is you end up with the third pick. The two teams ahead of you, either teams trade up and take quarterbacks, and then you're first up on the board at three with a chance to take the first non-quarterback on the board. And then it's harder to screw it up because you know, like, we are getting a consensus talented player that around the NFL, everybody probably has graded pretty highly as one of the top players on their board because the quarterback thing is always fluky. Some teams view quarterbacks in different grades. Some think they should go number one overall. Some think, like, well, I could wait and get him at, like, 10. So when you rule the quarterbacks out of the equation, you take that out of the mix. Like, the Browns are in a really good opportunity where they could end up taking, like, the number one non-quarterback player available, and that's easier to get right if you're Andrew Berry. Like, it's easier to hit on that player than it is to, like, take a flyer on a quarterback potentially.
It usually is, I would say. Like, typically, like, 2017, right? Myles Garrett, number one pick for the Browns. Yeah. You couldn't mess that one up.
I don't know, and I want to be clear. Like, I don't know that this year there's that play. Like, I'm not saying there's a Myles Garrett in this year's class.
Right, like, is it supposed to be Travis Hunter? Is that what I'm supposed to push for?
Up there. Yeah, like I think he's probably one of the guys you sit there and say like you can't miss with Travis Hunter. Like and if, so if you have the rights to Travis Hunter, like, okay, Browns know they're probably getting a player that they can use in some way that no one's going to like think was a bad pick.
But that's my thing too. Like, do the Browns, I'm not saying you wouldn't benefit from having a Travis Hunter, but the guy who seems like he's sort of the home run pick is not really the biggest position in need for you. Like, he's probably going to be more so a corner.
Yeah, I mean, he's either a DB or a receiver, and he's probably going to be more of a DB.
Right.
Now, so, if he's going to be a receiver, that's something that can
help. Different. Yeah. I agree. Which he's going to be used on offense, I think, in some capacity. But, like, same page.
Can't wait for the Travis Hunter reverse plays. And I just talked about how I still support Kevin Stefanski, and then I'm taking a dig at him for the reverse plays.
Yeah. But you're basically oh, Travis Hunter, Kadarius Toney, what's the difference?
I don't know what happened since OBJ left. But, like, OBJ, yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, that's also disingenuous to Travis Hunter because he's really good. But, no, more so just because those plays have been such failures since OBJ was here. Like, the last time they ever ran a good reverse play was when Odell Beckham Jr. was on this team with Kevin Stefanski. They've been bad. They said Elijah Moore was going to be the reverse play guy and their gadget play guy, and they've been awful with him. Then they were awful with Kadarius Toney and whoever else they've tried to use. Like, what are you doing? So, yeah, I guess Travis Hunter will be an upgrade. Those plays would actually work with Travis Hunter, so I guess I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, but, like, do you really need a corner? Like, it's okay. You can draft one at some point.
Andrew Berry does like taking corners.
But. Yeah, but he typically likes taking them. I guess he took one in the first round. I can't say that. But I guess they usually take some later.
Got to find a Greg Newsom replacement somewhere, I guess, right?
I guess.
Although, do you want Travis Hunter being a nickel corner? I don't know.
No, not really. I don't know. It's to me, like, it's usually a home run when you get to take the top guy on the board. I just don't think that's this year. I think that spot's interchangeable. Like, I'd probably paint it as Travis Hunter, but I don't think that's a guarantee. Like, Abdul Carter, the Penn State at the end. Like, you could go him, and I don't think anybody would feel any sort of way about it. It's interesting.
I mean, Abdul Carter would be a good pick because that's a need for the Browns, too.
Right. Well, might disagree with you on that, but yeah. Like, it's a need. I don't know if it's the biggest need in the world.
Well, it's not the biggest need, but it's a need. You still need to... They failed to find a pass rusher who's, like, young and they can, like, build around to go opposite of Myles Garrett. He looks good, but you really think... What is he? He's a fourth-round pick, Isaiah McGuire, I think. Like, you really think he's going to be some, you know, running mate to Myles Garrett for years to come? Myles Garrett might not even be here after next year. I don't need somebody about that, Ben. I guess.
More holes to fill. I don't know. So the question that I then take from it is, if you don't trust Andrew Berry, what makes you think that whoever they're going to put in place of Andrew Berry is going to be that much better? Like, that's the guy that Kevin Stefanski essentially, like, I'm assuming they went to that search together. They got Berry as a unit. That's who you ended up with. What makes you think the next guy coming in is just going to be miles better than Andrew Berry? Not saying Berry's been great. Not saying there's not better GMs out there, but that it's just going to flip on its head.
So we're just keeping Andrew Berry because we don't know. There's like so you're well, getting.
Would you feel better about
this has become like the anyone who's a Ryan Day sympathizer at this point? Like, this is what this is becoming. Ah, well, who knows what else is out there? It's like the fear of the unknown. That's what we're worried about with moving on from Andrew Berry.
Do you feel so much more confident that flipping over into the new year tomorrow, they could find somebody who's going to make miles better draft picks for the Cleveland Browns by April?
I think there's probably some options out there. Off the top of my head, I'm not like, you don't got the GM draft board in your head. I haven't been thinking about it because I've obviously just been assuming Andrew Berry's coming back. But I do think like there's probably if somebody threw some names at me right now, there'd probably be some people on a list where I'd be like, yeah, I'd be okay with that. I'd like to see how that would work. Like, I can't subscribe to, well, you don't move on from Andrew Berry because, like, well, we haven't given him enough opportunities and who knows what else is out there. Like, there's always new people vying for GM jobs. There's always GMs out there who have, like, untapped potential that we haven't seen yet. So I'd be willing to take a chance if they were aligned with Kevin Stefanski. That's the thing I don't want. Is like, I don't want to get a GM who's going to come in here and be like, well, I don't work with Kevin Stefanski. And then Kevin Stefanski's getting in like a lame duck year anyway where he gets fired. You'd have to have him on the same page. You'd have to have Kevin Stefanski have some say in who the GM was. But no, like I'm not holding on to Andrew Berry because of like the fear of the unknown. I can't do that.
I'm fine with it. Again, I'm trying to throw questions at you that make you anything else. I'm not going to sit here and defend Andrew Berry. Yeah. It's been awful.
Although
I'm
been sitting there defending Andrew Berry.
I haven't been defending Andrew Berry. I'm just throwing you anything else, literally anything else. Because you're going to have him. He's going to be the guy making the pick. Yeah. So whether you trust him or not, saddle up. Saddle up. That's the guy who's making your pick, whether it's 3-1-2. Kayla, don't laugh at that. It's going to be 3-2, whatever they end up. He's going to be the guy making the picks. I don't know. You're backed into the corner, whether you trust him or not.
Sucks.
Yeah, that's where you're at.
Would it be better for Andrew Berry to trade out of three and have more first-round picks that then he can either get wrong, but he could also hit on more guys if you have more picks at your disposal? What do you think is a better outcome for Andrew Berry?
It's so situational. Like, if there's a quarterback in the top three, I think you're taking him. We talked about that yesterday.
Well, and that's maybe the biggest thing. Do you trust him to take a quarterback? I guess is the biggest. Like even beyond just, like, do you trust him? Even beyond just, like, do you trust him to make whatever that pick is going to be, do you trust him to identify and then draft the franchise quarterback for this team this year? I think that's the bigger issue at hand, based off the conversation we had. Let's go to the phones. Cool Ray in Bedford. What's up, Cool Ray?
What's going on, Cool Ray?
Hey, Happy New Year, fellas.
You
Happy
too.
New
Year. You too, Cool Ray.
I mean, I love y'all show. I listen to it every morning. So I just want to be honest moving in 2025. I don't understand how the narrative is just, oh, you know, we so happy.
Is that your New Year's resolution? Be more honest in 2025?
I want you guys to be more honest. You know, like, because, like, okay, you just made a statement about Andrew Berry and Stefanski. So you want the coach to pick his boss?
That's kind of how it works in the NFL. Yeah,
it's not just Stefanski making the pick, but it's a collaborative
effort.
When I worked
in Buffalo, Cool Ray, Sean McDermott got hired first, and then he basically handpicked Brandon Bean to be his GM. I would say those two are doing pretty good things in Buffalo when they identify Josh Allen as a quarterback.
Okay, so my thing is this: like, I don't understand the narrative when Hugh Jackson was the coach and the Browns had no talent and they were dumping salaries. We all knew that as fans and we accepted that. And they went bad. Isn't that the same as a coach who had a team that was slated to win a Super Bowl or go deep into the playoffs and done nothing except made two playoff appearances? And now we got players talking about leaving or maybe want to be traded. And, like, isn't that the exact same when you have talent and you can't do nothing with it than someone who had no talent and done nothing with it? I mean, it's the exact same. And, like, my thing is this. He has not proven with the amount of talent that he had that he's a coach that's going to lead this team. Sometimes we got to be honest. I know you guys love him as a person, but as a head coach, 3 out of 5 years of losing, no, that's not where we want to go. And now you're talking about, and we make excuses. Everybody has injuries. Every coach. Team has injuries.
Yeah, but Cool Ray, like, we're a year removed from a team that had, and I appreciate the call. We're a year removed from a team that was riddled with injuries that he led to the playoffs. So, like, what are we doing here? And listen, I'm to be clear, like, I'm not keep Kevin Stefanski because he's the best coach you've had. It's the same thing with the GM thing, right? Like, oh, what else is out there? Like, I'm not saying keep Kevin Stefanski because he's the best coach you've had in over two decades. I just think, like, we've seen him be able to lead teams that have had injuries, and we've seen him pull off, you know, with limited rosters, like, good things. I get what you're saying, Cool Ray, that the team was supposed to be talented, and actually Jake and I are going to talk about that a little bit more later on. But at the same time, wasn't he kind of handcuffed by the quarterback situation he was dealt to? Like, if he was given Deshaun Watson and it wasn't, like, I'm not saying Kevin Stefanski didn't have a part in it. Sounds like he at least was part of the conversation and at least signed on for it. But some of that, too, could just be like, well, yeah, I'm part of the organization. Of course I'm going to sign on for it. But I've said from the start, like, that pairing never made sense because that's not the style of quarterback that fits his offense. So if this was like an arranged marriage that he was trying to make the best of, who am I to be like, well, he couldn't get anything out of Deshaun Watson. Maybe nobody can get anything out of Deshaun Watson because he might be completely washed. He probably is completely washed. We saw those first 7 games. So, like, why am I putting that on Stefanski? I just can't do it.
No, and
when he's taking the corpse of Joe Flacco to the playoffs. Like, yeah.
What other options did you have this year?
Kayla's laughing in the background.
What other options did you have this year? Like, you've seen Jameis play. You've seen DTR play. You've seen Deshaun Watson play. Kevin Stefanski does not build the roster at the end of the day. Like, he has a say in it, I'm sure. I'm sure it's an effort where they go in together and they pick some guys. Like, he did not have total control and get to pick his quarterback. And you've seen all three play this year, and they've all stunk.
Yeah.
They've all stunk. And well, it has not been Kevin Stefanski can coach an offense. They have flat out stunk.
But even Jameis, like, showed you a glimpse of last year, right? Like, you saw the quarterbacking of, like, this is Kevin Stefanski's offense, play action heavy, throw the ball downfield. Like, that's what we were looking for that. And you saw what it could – that was more so a Jameis problem why he got benched, because Jameis turns the ball over too much. But you still saw, like, the semblance of, like, what worked the year before. And I'm not saying the offense was, like, amazing last year with Joe Flacco. You ideally want a quarterback who can protect the football better and isn't going to do those things to hurt you. But again, they got to find that guy still. But I'm not like I'm just not putting it on Stefanski at this point. Like, I'm willing to say he's part of the why they lost this year, but it's not all on him. Like, I think he has proven he deserves a little bit longer leash here. 216-474-0092. Do you trust Andrew Berry to make any assortment of picks for the Browns coming up in next year's draft, including potentially a top three pick? Also, here in a second, we need to talk about the city of Cleveland striking yet again. But real quick, Kyle in Streetsboro, home of Kent Carman, who is obviously not here today. But Kyle, what's going on, man?
What's up, Kyle?
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
What's up? I think that we have to take a quarterback with our first round pick. And here's why. In 2000, we had the number one overall pick, and we took a defensive end, and it led to 17 years of pretty much nothing. Then we got the number one overall pick again, and we took a defensive end, and it led to 8 years of pretty much nothing. And we don't have to take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Like, people always, it seems like teams just take whoever the media says are these top guys and doesn't actually scout and do their own due diligence, because, like, in 2000, we could have took Tom Brady number one overall, but people would have been like, oh my God, why would you take him number one? He's a sixth round talent. But, like, look what the Broncos did with Bo Nix. They reached on Bo Nix, and it's working out pretty well for them. I don't think Bo Nix is going to be, you know, Patrick Mahomes, but we got to take a quarterback with the first pick. That's all I got to say.
All right. I appreciate the call, Kyle. Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't even know if you need – well, here's the thing, though. Like, if the Browns don't get, like, Patrick Mahomes, I think that's okay. Like, if they get somebody who's just, like, a good – like, a top 10 starting quarterback, that can still be enough for you to, like, be – the football team that you hope to be. Like, I've learned as I've gotten older, like, you can't just, like, every year go in and be like, oh, they got to find their Patrick Mahomes, their Josh Allen, or their Joe Burrow. Because those guys are, like, so few and far between. Like, you know how hard it is to thread the needle on that? There's not one of those guys in every single draft class. So I get what he's saying, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, if they can just nail finding a quarterback that is going to be the quarterback that they've been sort of waiting for, a franchise quarterback that's better than, I guess, what they have right now, but doesn't necessarily have to be, like, the number one guy in football, like, that's okay.
Yeah, I what I don't agree with is you could have taken Tom Brady first overall.
Yeah, nobody would have done that.
No. Also, if you do that, you're just bad at drafting.
Also, I do
you
think
need to evaluate where you can get talent, yeah, not just that you can get talent. And like 2000, the Browns could have got Chad Pennington instead of Courtney Brown. I don't know that I want to.
I do also think Tom Brady was massively benefited by where he ended up.
Yeah, of course.
If he had ended up in Cleveland, like, I don't think it would have worked out for him very well. Just, I mean, maybe because he had the work ethic and he was, like, always that guy who was like, oh, I'm going to make sure I'm the best. But I think, like, as much as him and Bill butted heads towards the end, like, I think there was, like, you know, he was the perfect coach for him. I mean, Bill advocated to start him. It was his pick. Like, he wanted Tom Brady, and then he was the one who made the change once Bledsoe was back. He was like, hey, I'm sticking with Tom Brady. Like, you know, that was his guy, and he banked on him, and it worked out. Like, so I think it was the perfect storm, really, for both. And that's why when people are like, was it Belichick? Was it Brady? I kind of hate that argument and that conversation. And everyone says it was Brady because he won the Super Bowl with the Bucs. But, like, honestly, guys, like, they needed each other to get to where they are. Like, yeah, that's always the way I viewed it. I think, for me, that conversation has kind of become like, who are you taking, LeBron or Jordan? Who's your best player of all time? It's like, guys, you know, Jordan was his own thing. LeBron was his own thing. They're different players. They do different things. Like, LeBron has his own individual greatness. Like, I just don't think you're enjoying the experience if you are just standing there trying to, like, debate who was more important to it, to the Patriots' success, if you will.
Well, Spencer, you know what I see? What? You give me Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, Kevin Stefanski and DTR, am I right? I mean, same situation. Come on.
Oh, man.
I mean, if you're not sold by now, I don't know what's going to get you.
He had his chance to make DTR, like, he could have really done the Tom Brady thing, and, like, once Deshaun got hurt, like, made DTR the starter. Like, oh, that's our guy. And he went to Jameis instead, so I think that tells you all you need to know.
By the way, I don't know if this is fully backed. I saw it on a graphic, and I did not vet this. DTR currently with, like, the worst touchdown to interception ratio in NFL history.
I saw that same graphic, and I'm just bringing potentially unvetted stats to the air on reckless speculation by Jake. But I mean, listen, 10-1 is pretty reasonable to assume that might be the worst ever. So
yeah, I got to think it's up there, right? If you're throwing 10 for every touchdown.
The reason I doubted it, though, is because the graphic that they made with it looked like so dumb. And I was like, I don't know if I really trust this, but who knows. Ron in Warrensville. What's up, Ron?
What's going on, Ron?
Yeah, hey, how y'all doing? See, hear me out, please. And see, that's the problem that a lot of fans and people down my way have of calling you guys, because when we disagree with you, you cut us off real quick. You say, oh, I got to go. You know, Stefanski isn't no coach. He had DDTR. What did he look like?
DDTR.
Well, I didn't even say that. The quarterback, man, that just played the last two games. Him. He had him, okay? And did he coach him? No. He shouldn't even be in football. He can only coach veterans that already been there that know what to do. Stefanski isn't no coach. Me and you could be a GM. Hey, he's on the board. Hey, we can get him, get him. Now he's dependent on the coach to coach him. If I was a rookie, don't go to the Browns as long as Kevin Stefanski is the head coach, because you ain't going to get nowhere. And you know, I blame you guys for not letting the fans speak the real truth. I mean, it's like propaganda. Stefanski and Barry got to go. Gotta go.
All right, Ron, I appreciate the call. Yeah, you know, let's start listening to the homeless people on the street again to run the organization, because that worked out so well. That was rude. Ron might not be homeless. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it as like Ron's homeless. I just meant like, yeah, I get criticized from our boss that I sometimes give people too long of a leash.
Right.
So you tell me that I don't let the fans speak. Like, I just let you speak. I gave you the floor, Ron. Like, you got to voice your opinion. Like, at the end of the day, they're like, the fans don't run the organization. Like, I think you're downplaying how difficult it is to be a coach and to be a GM. As much as we're saying Andrew Berry maybe hasn't done a good job of that. Like, I don't actually think that I could go do his job. I'm not saying I could. I'm just wondering if there's better GMs out there that do this for a living. Like, that's my question on it. And as far as like DTR is concerned, okay, you're holding it against Kevin Stefanski that he couldn't turn a fifth round pick into Tom Brady. Like, sorry that Tom Brady tainted your opinion of like how quarterbacks are supposed to develop. But maybe that was just never going to happen because DTR is just not that good. How about that?
Well, Spencer, every fifth round pick turns into a Hall of Famer except for when they're under Kevin Stefanski. So.
Yeah, it's clearly his fault.
It's his fault. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just, you know, let's fire him because he hasn't developed a fifth round pick into a starting quarterback. And, you know, he's clearly just, he stinks. He's just awful. I don't know.
It all comes down to.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Whatever. The fans voicing their opinions on 92.3 aren't like, I'm telling you, if Andrew Berry's listening right now, if Kevin Stefanski's listening right now, which thanks for tuning in, guys. There's no way that Ron and Warrensville's opinion just made them go, you know what? Ron is right. I'm going to hand in my resignation papers today. I should get out of here. I just can't coach. I can't build a roster. I can't coach. If they're not listening to you or I say it, or Ken or Lima or whoever, and like they don't care what we have to say, they're certainly not going to take the opinions of the fans within reason. I do think they're going to listen to the fans in terms of like what they can sell at the quarterback position next year as a reason why they can't possibly trot Deshaun Watson back out there as the starter. But like that's more of like a marketing thing than like a selling tickets thing than it is a roster decision-making thing. Like they're not listening to the opinions of fans, radio show hosts, anybody on how they're going to go about building this roster. If they think Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback, and if they think Will Howard is the best quarterback in this class, and they think they can get him in the second round, they're going to take Will Howard in the second round, whether I think it's a good pick or not. They don't care.
No, and thank God they don't, because the amount of things that I've heard spewed over these airwaves, my God, I mean, people are calling for Kenny Pickett. What are we doing? Like,
yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Hey, let's listen to the random tweeters on social media who want us to try to bring in Kenny Pickett because he did the thing that all these bad quarterbacks do. They go play for a good team, and everybody thinks they're like, they went through some like cleanse. Oh, no, now they got to play under Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. They must be cured of all their illnesses. It's like they were possessed or something, and then they went and got like exorcism. Thank you, Kayla. They went and had an exorcism, and now like the bad quarterbacking is all of a sudden out of their system. We did it with The same thing happened with Mitch Trubisky. He goes to Buffalo, plays under Josh Allen for a year, and everyone's like, oh, Mitch Trubisky, he's good now. He played with Sean McDermott and Jared Allen. Josh Allen, different J.A. What are we doing? No, nobody's listening to the fans, radio show hosts. I don't even expect them to listen to me.
I'm an idiot.
I give you my opinion on things, and like I have a different way of viewing things, but like that doesn't mean I'm necessarily right. I just want him to get it right. I want him to make the right picks. I want him to pick the right players. So no, I'm not going to sit here and say like Kevin Stefanski can't coach because he didn't turn water into wine with DTR. Like, what are we doing?
So absurd. If your problem with Kevin Stefanski is that he can't get DTR to play like a starting level quarterback, all right, we got bigger issues to address, okay? There's bigger issues and bigger problems you can point to with Kevin Stefanski than DTR has not developed.
He's also the only coach who's gotten anything out of Joe Flacco recently. I mean, Joe Flacco like revived his career, and look what he's doing with the Colts this year. Like, he just lost to the Giants.
Looked like bad doing it too.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's
the man was 76 years old.
For everything we can point to and say Kevin Stefanski does this bad, he's also plenty of things you can point to and say like he's done this right. I mean, the culture has completely changed. That's maybe the most important thing. Let's go to Larry and Elyria. What's up, Larry?
Good on, Larry.
Hey, how you guys mentioned Jake? Actually, first of all, man, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year,
you too. Happy New Year.
You mentioned quarterback position, and what Miles is talking about, you guys, about what's going to be done there, he knows exactly what it is. It's quarterback position, which is the most importantly there. So, you know, it's going to be a while. If you look at that quarterback, it's going to be some time to get back to playoffs, you guys. But I heard the rumors, too, about they mentioned J.J. McCarthy, Sam Darnold there in Minnesota, where they're looking at right now. Because they're wondering what way Darnold's playing. Like I said, it could be fool's gold. You don't know that. He's playing inside the dome there. But McConnell's done a hell of a job with him.
Well, hey, Cleveland's going to have a dome pretty soon.
Yeah, but the thing I want to talk to you guys now about that situation there, and they're probably franchise tag Darnold, most likely, I guess. But he wants to get paid, too, on top of that.
I'm guessing they probably pay Darnold, like whatever. I do. And here's the thing. Like, everyone's like, well, could they trade J.J. McCarthy? Could the Browns get in on that? If you're the Vikings, what incentive do you have to trade J.J. McCarthy? Like, you right now are in the they have the perfect setup for like a quarterback situation. They have a quarterback that they now think is pretty good and can be their guy in Sam Darnold, and they have a rookie kind of waiting in the wings who's coming off of a serious injury and is going to need time anyway. So like next year will kind of be his rookie season in that way.
Yeah.
So like if you have both those things, like you have a quarterback that you can start now and win with, but you also have a rookie, like why would you rush making a decision or jump into anything? Like they're not trading J.J. McCarthy. There's no way they're going to do that.
Right. One thing, I'll let you guys go, Spencer, right now the Brownies, right now where we're sitting at, when Andrew picks most of the time, they're thinking, I'd be wrong. Mostly they like to trade down that pick. They would.
I think, Larry, I apologize, man. We're up against it. I don't want to anger Kayla any more than I already have today. So we're going to take a break. But no, listen, I think that it's probably more than likely if they end up with a top three pick that they trade out, because I think they're going to look and say, we need as much talent on this roster as possible, as much as Jake is going to roll his eyes and be upset because he wants him to take a quarterback. I think they probably trade back and get more picks on the table because they want to accumulate as much talent as possible from this draft.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Oh, Jake, it's New Year's Eve.
It is.
Are you a New Year's Eve guy?
I like it.
But have you made a habit out of like having plans and, you know, hanging with the friends and being somewhere at midnight? And I don't know, maybe you have a girlfriend, right?
I do.
Yeah. You know, the whole like smooching at midnight thing or whatever you want to call it. That sounded like Jeff Phelps saying smooching. Sorry.
I don't know if I've made a habit of it. It's kind of like a hit or miss thing. Like I either do, sometimes I don't. Growing up, I always just spent it with my family. Like, we would just stay at home, watch the ball drop, hang out for like an hour, and go to bed.
Sparkling grape juice or whatever. We would drink that, yeah. So, here's the thing. I was one of the biggest, because I used to run into so many people who'd be like, New Year's Eve, who cares? Like, whatever. Time is a flat circle. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a construct that we created. They, like, go get all philosophical and deep with it. And I was the guy who was like, No, this is cool. It's nice to like stop and reflect on what you've accomplished in the last 12 months, look ahead to like what's to come in a new year. I understand it's all just like a fluke thing that we created at some point, like time is whatever. But at the same time, it's a nice point in time. I'm a very reflective person. I'm a very introspective person. So I like to take some moments sometimes and just kind of think about like, what did I accomplish this year? What did I do? Whatever. So I always enjoyed New Year's, and I always enjoyed New Year's Eve because I was always doing something with my friends. I have like in college, I had this, I would always go home. I'd be home on break during this time of year. But my closest group of friends that I still have to this day are a group of my friends from high school. We're all kind of in different places. Some of them are still in Rochester, New York. Some of them live in Buffalo now. My best friend, who's the guy who drafted the fantasy team for me, that I made a few tweaks to throughout the season via trades, but that won me a championship that I am very, very excited about. He lives in Phoenix. So like, we're all kind of spread out, but we're all still in the same friend group. We have group texts. We text each other. We're always staying in touch.
Yeah.
And that was the group of people, though, like during college, I'd go home and see every break and all these different things. And so we always had plans. There was always people who were having some sort of New Year's Eve party, and I'd like make buffalo chicken dip at my parents' house and then take it with me and like bring, you know, alcohol to the party. We'd all have a good time. We'd go out, go to bars, whatever. After I graduated college, my first year out of college, my now wife and I, we did like New Year's Eve, like this big party in like DC at this massive hotel with some friends we had there. So there's always been, there used to be like these big things that we would do. The last New Year's where I remember doing something like different or fun or enjoyable was the year I got married in 2019. My wife and I were actually on our honeymoon during like after Christmas into the new year. And so we were in Barbados. And so there was like all these different parties you could bounce around to and do all this different stuff. And so that was an enjoyable time. And then after that was COVID. And ever since 2020, and maybe this is just like a sign of like life in general, but ever since 2020, New Year's has just like gone downhill for me. It's just been like sitting at home in our pajamas or whatever you wear to bed and just like with blankets, watching the ball drop. And then like we go right upstairs and go to bed pretty much. And it's gotten worse since we have a kid now. Like the last 2 years has just been nothingness. It's been, is he down? Is he finally sleeping? Okay. All right. Guess we're going to go to bed. Cool. Like there's just nothing to it anymore. And I'm kind of devastated by the fact that New Year's used to be an institution in my life. It was something that was fun and enjoyable. I could plan things around it. We had fun. We had events. We had things going on. And as I've gotten older, this is one of those things that I think I've realized, like, it doesn't age well. It just doesn't get better as you get older. It gets worse.
I feel like you just make it better, right? Like we can sit here and say, oh, it doesn't get any better. Okay, Spencer, here's your solution. Hire a babysitter, plan a night out, and go out and do it.
That's the problem with New Year's Eve, though. Who's going to babysit on New Year's Eve? Anybody that you would get to babysit, unless it's like unless it's a grandparent, like if I can get my mother-in-law or my mom or somebody to come down and take care of our child, nobody is going to babysit for you because they all have their own plans. They're either doing stuff with their own families or they have their own stuff going on or whatever. They have their own friend groups they're hanging out with. So, like, that's just never going to happen. Like, you're never going to find I feel like New Year's Eve might be the hardest. The only thing that might be harder on New Year's Eve to do is get a reservation at a restaurant other than find a babysitter.
So, you've already presented to me two options for a babysitter. You just gave me two. Also, like, what? There's not... You don't have friends in the neighborhood that have a high schooler that could come take care of the kid?
You think a high schooler wants to babysit somebody else's kid on New Year's Eve?
That doesn't exist anymore.
I was going to say, I don't know.
No, that's not a thing anymore.
I don't know a lot of people that... Yeah, I don't really know a lot of people that do that anymore with like their kids, with like having like a high schooler come over and watch them. I'm not saying that doesn't exist at all. I don't know for sure. But I haven't heard... I don't know a lot of people personally who like do that. Like, I think a lot of people just rely on family more than anything now. Which is kind of, it's interesting, but I
know multiple people. I'm 23 years old that babysat in high school. My sister babysat in high school.
I think it's a new generation, though. I don't know.
Interesting. I don't know. You could find somebody. Somebody out there will do it.
My sister babysat like when we were younger. Like there was a girl down the street who she would go watch and whatever. Like, so I know it's a thing. I know what that is, but I bet you there's probably like the youngest generation of what that we're in right now. What is it? Gen Z. If you ask them, like...
I think we're one past that.
Wait.
Well, Alpha is one, but they're kids.
Still kids?
My kids are Alpha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because isn't like Gen Z, I'm a millennial. I think Gen Z's next. I think like if you ask that generation, are you a Gen Z or
technically? I am a Gen Z.
I believe Jake and I are.
Okay, so I guess whatever the generation is coming in after you, if you ask them like, hey, you know what a babysitter is? They'd be like, what?
Like, is it that crazy? I don't think it's. I don't know.
Well, the problem like is the problem is the trust level has never been lower.
Well, I can see that. Yeah.
That is the biggest thing. Again, I think it's another thing COVID ruined too.
And they want a lot of money. Like it's not. Yeah, it's not the way it used to be. Like I used to babysit for like $5 an hour.
Because I thought about that. Like I'm like, could we find somebody who could watch our child sometimes so we don't always have to rely on like mostly we rely on my mother-in-law because she's the closest. She lives like an hour away from us, and she usually comes up and watches him. But like, if Brittany and I want to do like a date night or something, or go to dinner or whatever, we always have to rely on her. So we feel bad sometimes because it's like sometimes we'll have like two weekends in a row or something where we're using her as our babysitter, and it's like I wish we had somebody else, but we don't have anybody else because nobody really does the babysitter thing anymore. So I guess I just had to accept that New Year's Eve has just become this. It's me drinking as many beers as possible on my couch, trying to pretend that I'm still young enough to like just, get wasted with my friends and be at a party and, go out on the town. And going out of the town is just like me going from different rooms in my house, I guess. And then going to sleep after midnight. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you just got to set up different stations. Different
also, at this point,
just go.
Different
all
stations.
Right, guest room.
In
there's
this
a keg
room,
in the guest
we got
room.
The disco
Come
ball.
On, let's go. Keg stands,
in this
keg
room,
stands.
The DJ. Yeah, we just go room to room with the keg
just
stands.
Just a speaker, yeah.
Just get a keg. Kegs in the kitchen. See you down there, guys, in 5 minutes. My wife would be so mad. Well, that, and that's the other thing. Like, my wife now, my wife goes to bed normally, like, on a normal night, like a work night. She's in bed by 10 o'clock. So, like, staying up to New Year's, like, it almost, like, pains her sometimes. Like, she's, like, physically ill staying up to midnight just to watch the ball drop. Like, she just kind of does it out of, like, habit of, it's New Year's, I should do it. But, like, last year, I want to say she almost went to bed at, like, 11:30. She was like, oh, my God, I just want to go to bed. And she was like, it's 30 minutes. I guess I'll just do it for the sake of doing it. Like, I made it this far. But I was like, man, we're old. We're like complaining about it being, and I don't really care because I'm up past midnight most nights anyway. But like, yeah, it's a real conniption. I don't know. I'm just sad about what New Year's Eve has become.
I wish I could fix your life for you. I'm 23. I just go out and do it. Like,
so what are you doing?
Taylor, don't give me the scowl on the face right now.
I just go out and do it. What a slogan! Right. What a slogan! I just go out and do it.
I don't have the same commitment
that you have.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
So what are your plans tonight then? What are you going out and doing tonight?
We're going to a nice dinner and with an open bar.
With your girlfriend?
I am, yeah. Okay. And my girlfriend's parents.
You know what a nice dinner leads to?
I'm with my girlfriend's parents, so I think whatever you're alluding to is incorrect.
On New Year's Eve. I don't know, Jake. Just saying.
I think you got the wrong idea on this one. I think you got the wrong idea. I think you're painting a bad picture right now. All right? If you were painting realism, you look like, now I forget, Picasso. Jesus. I can't even get it out. I was going to say Van Gogh. That doesn't make any sense. If you're going realism, you turn into Picasso.